Good morning. We want to welcome all who've come to worship our God this morning. We're glad to be together. We appreciate your participation in the worship to this point. Appreciate the good song service, prayer that was led, and being able to partake of the Lord's Supper and really remember what our Lord has done for us. We enter into a time now in our worship where we want to listen to God's Word. As we get into that part of the worship, I'd like to begin by telling you a story which many of you may have heard before. One night I had a dream. Again, this is a story, so one that you may have heard before. One night I had a dream that I was walking along a beach on the wet sand by the gently lapping waves. As I looked back, I could see a line of footsteps stretching back to where my walk began. Suddenly, I became aware of the fact that the walk that I was looking at was my life. I saw that the tracks were of two people. Then I heard God telling me that the footprints were a record of our walk together throughout my life. As I looked back, I was puzzled. At certain times in my life, the times that were hard, it looked like, and maybe there were rocks there, there was only one set of footprints. Angrily, I asked God what had happened. And God said to me, "That is where you played hopscotch." That's not what you were expecting, was it? Because that's not how that story goes. Did you listen to all of that? Did you say, when I said hopscotch, did you say, "What is he talking about?" Yeah. Because that's how it is when we listen. Especially when we're listening to something that we think we know. We listen, and then we really don't listen. And then if something is said that's a little different and a little unusual, then, oh, we're going to jump on that. And maybe we're going to disagree with it or not like it because it's not the usual thing that we've heard. But we haven't really listened all along. And so, the lesson this morning is not really about that story, of course, but it's about listening. And the question is, are you still listening? Even still, after you've heard something over and over again, you think, and you know, you think, what the punchline is, but do you still listen carefully? It's an important lesson, and one that's worth our thought this morning. Many Jews really never listened to Jesus. In John chapter 8 and verse 43, he says to them, "Why do you not understand my speech? Why can't you understand what I'm saying?" The question is more than rhetorical, though, because he has the answer. And he says, "Because you are not able to listen to my word." Listen to what he says. You are not able to listen. You don't understand, not because you're not listening, but because you are not able to listen to my word. How important is it to be able to listen to all that Jesus has to say to us, even if we think that we have heard it before? There are those who never try to tune in to what the preacher of God's Word is saying. There are those here this morning, I would guess, that have already tuned me out, that are maybe just here because they've got to be, because they feel maybe that it's expected, and they'd just rather be thinking about other things. Or maybe they've got something else on their mind, a problem at home, at work, whatever it is. And they're already there. I can remember sometimes when I was a young boy, and I had something, maybe a game that I liked to play at school or at home or something like that, and I like to think about that all of the time, and I couldn't wait to get to church not to listen to what the preacher said, but so I could sit there and think about that thing that I like to think about, which wasn't what he was saying. There are people that tune out the preacher of God's Word before he even begins. But then there are also those who start to listen, as we did a few moments ago, and follow along maybe until they get a little bit tired of it, or until he gets to a certain point. They want to give the impression of being open-minded, but are only going to listen to that one point. Think about listening up to a point. It occurs many, many times in Scripture where people were able to listen, but only to a certain point. Go with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 22. In fact, let's pick up a story in Acts chapter 21. You might remember that the Apostle Paul has returned to Jerusalem. And the leaders in the church in Jerusalem want to make sure that everything is smooth between Paul and the Jewish Christians that are there in Jerusalem. And so they ask him to go along with four men and pay their fees, so to speak, for the sacrifices and things and a vow of purification in the temple. And go and do that to show to the Jews and the Jewish Christians in the area that Paul didn't have it in for the Jews, and he didn't have anything against, so to speak, the law of Moses and all of that. So Paul does that. You can pick up in Acts chapter 21, in verse 28, as Paul is in the process of this, there were some Jews from Asia who saw him in the temple, and they caused an uproar. They cried out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." Now, that's not a true accusation. Paul hadn't done that, but that's what they're accusing him of. They thought maybe that he had. They'd seen him with some Greeks earlier on. But anyway, they caused this huge uproar. And Paul is drug out of the temple. The doors are slammed to the temple, and people are trying to basically tear him apart. A lot of folks don't know what's going on, but this huge crowd mob scene ensues. And the Roman garrison that's stationed there at the Antonio Fortress just off the temple grounds, they hear of this, and the captain comes down with the guard, and he comes down and brings Roman soldiers and pulls Paul out of the melee and basically rescues him and is dragging him back up to the garrison there. And when they get to the top of the steps, Paul pleads with him to let him turn around and address the crowd and defend himself and explain to them what it is that he was doing and who it is that he is and why it is that, frankly, they need to accept him and accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Paul takes advantage of this huge crowd and their attention to use the opportunity to tell them not only about his faith, but also about the one in whom he has faith. And so, you read that in verse 40. Paul is given permission by the captain of the guard. And so Paul stands on the stairs and motions with his hand to the people, and there was a great silence, and he spoke to them in the Hebrew language. In chapter 22 and verse 1, he says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And then he explains who he is, a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia and so on and so forth, and about how he used to be a persecutor of Christians, but how that one time, as he was in the business of persecuting Christians, he was walking on the road to Damascus to do exactly that, and the Lord appeared to him, and most of you all know that story. Paul was not saved on the road to Damascus, but he did have an experience with the Lord. The Lord spoke to him, told him to go into Damascus, and there it would be told him what to do to be saved. And so he does that. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, a man by the name of Ananias comes to him. "Paul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul does, and as he tells the story. And so you get to Acts chapter 22, and he says to the people he's defending himself to there in verse 17, "It happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him," again the Lord, "saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me.' I said, 'Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him.' And he said to me, 'Depart, for I will send you from here to the Gentiles.'" Now remember what Paul's doing here. Standing on these stairs, explaining himself, defending his faith, explaining now how the Lord has sent him to the Gentiles. Remember what caused the mob. The mob was caused because they thought he had a Gentile in the temple with him. And so they listened to him. The next verse is, they listened to him until this word. Basically, until he said the word Gentile. And then it's over with. "We're not going to listen to you anymore, Paul. That's it. You've said the magic word. You've said the thing that we can't stand to hear about." And they quit listening. And the text says, they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." And they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air. And the commander ordered them to be brought into the barracks. They listened to a point. Why that point? Now, we've told the story, but I want you to think about that question. Why that point? Then let's look at another example from Scripture. Go back with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 36. In the reign of Jehoiakim, the Lord comes to the prophet Jeremiah and tells him to write words on a scroll, basically detailing all of the prophecies about the impending destruction of Jerusalem and all of the things that God is going to do to punish His people for their unfaithfulness. Jeremiah calls his scribe Baruch to come, and he dictates this scroll to Baruch, and Baruch takes it, after it's all finished and completed, basically takes it up to the palace and presents it to some of the princes and governors and the officials there, and they read it, and they're kind of afraid because there's a bunch of stuff in there that's very negative about the future of Judah. And then they go and inform the king about this scroll. And we can pick up the reading in the book of Jeremiah chapter 26, and or 36 rather, and verse 23. When one of the king's men, Jehudi, read three or four of the columns in the presence of the king, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was in the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the hearth. He just takes the scroll, he reads three or four pages or columns of the scroll. Well, that's all I want to hear of that. I don't care what the rest of it says. And he takes his knife and just slices it up and throws it in the fire. That's the end of that. Not listening to that anymore. Now, why do you think Jehoiakim did that? Why do you think the king just, here's a point, I'm done. I'm not listening to this anymore. Why does a person stop listening? Go back again to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7. You have the good man Stephen, who was standing for his faith and defending the Christ before the Jews in Jerusalem, giving people a lot of problems because they couldn't answer his arguments and the great faith that he had. And so basically, Stephen is arrested. He's brought before the Jewish council at the end of chapter 6. And he's questioned by the high priest and the council. He's asked to give an answer for himself and for his beliefs. And so Stephen stands, and in Acts chapter 7 begins a very lengthy speech, going through from the time of Abraham, going through the history of the Israelites. Things that were known very well to the people to whom he was speaking. They would have known their own history. He was speaking to the leaders of the Jews. Well, they knew much of what he was telling them. But he, in a concise way, considering how long a period he covers, goes through historically and shows them point by point where they came from spiritually, God's dealings with them through ancient times, and brings them virtually up to the present time as he stands before them. And he shows them that in their history, they've never really, as a people, been very faithful to God. That's the implication of all that he's saying. And he draws that conclusion for them when you get down to Acts chapter 7. Let me read to you in verse 52. "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute, and they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it?" Well, that's some conclusion to a sermon, I can tell you that. But they were with them. They followed what he said, all of this history of theirs, which frankly they were proud of most of it. They could recall those events from their own history, and these were big things to them, Abraham and on through the story, the deliverance from Egypt and so on and so forth. They were happy to have him probably talk about that. But now he's talking about them. Now he's saying, you are the children of those who killed the prophets, and you are the very ones who've rejected the law of God. It says in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at Him with their teeth. In verse 57, they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran at Him with one accord. We're not going to listen to that anymore. Shut up, Stephen! We don't want to hear it. Why'd they stop listening? We listen up to a point. And the point that we listen to, that we stop listening, is where our prejudice starts. The point we stop is where our prejudice starts. An unbeliever is going to listen until you mention God. You can talk to an unbeliever about basic things, morality, this or that, right or wrong, what's good, what's bad. But you start on God, and you won't get past Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. He'll say, don't start on that with me. I can't now. We've had a good discussion up till now, but leave God out of it. You ever heard that? Leave God out of it. They're not going to listen to you when you're talking about God. Or you say, well, you know, the Bible says, and they'll say, now leave the Bible out of it. We're not talking about that. Even though it is all the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 tells us. But leave the Bible out of it. You start with, there's the point of prejudice. There's the point where they've already decided they don't believe in God, they don't believe the Bible's His Word, therefore anything that you say relative to that is not going to be accepted. I'm going to stop listening. A follower of a world religion is going to stop when you mention Jesus. Well, you can talk theoretically about the history of religions and so on and so forth. So they'll be happy to tell you about what they believe in, whether it's Allah or Buddha or Hinduism or whatever it might be. But you start talking about Jesus and who He was and what He did and why He came, and that's the end of the conversation. Most times. And yet, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we learn that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You're talking to a fellow who's in a denomination and is a firm believer in what they teach him in his denomination. And you mention baptism for the remission of sins as Peter taught it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And that's where the conversation stops. Well, baptism doesn't. So you can't be saved by works. I know that. So I remember my dad telling me one time, he was living in a retirement high-rise in Gadsden, Alabama. And they lived up on the 13th floor, so he had these long elevator rides, you know, back to his apartment. And sometimes he'd get on the elevator with somebody from another floor, and oftentimes dad would start up a religious discussion with him. And he was talking with this guy one time that he talked with several times before, And he just quoted Acts 2, verse 38. And you know what the guy said? That's just your opinion. Discussion over. Dad said, I just quoted it. I just told him what it said. No, he didn't want to hear that because he's already decided. You see, he's prejudiced. He's already decided that baptism can't save you. And once you've decided that, it doesn't matter what Acts 2, 38 says. It doesn't matter what 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism saves you. Discussion's over. You've reached your point of prejudice. And that's the point where you stop listening. Someone says, and baptism's a work, and you can't be saved by a work. Of course, the Bible says that works are necessary, that faith without works is dead. There are a lot of people, apparently, in the religious world that think they're saved by a dead faith. James 2:26 tells us that faith without works is dead. A liberal theologian, somebody who says he believes in God and believes in the Bible, is going to stop listening to you when you mention miracle. Thomas Jefferson, who is a great man in a lot of ways, one of the fine founders of our country, and wrote a lot of the important documents on which our country is based, yet certainly had a number of flaws, and particularly was not, I think, as religious as some would make him out to be. But Thomas Jefferson didn't really believe in the miracles of the Bible. In fact, he edited the Bible, in which he edited most all of the miracles of the Bible out of it, called the Jefferson Bible. I think you can probably get a copy of it somewhere. Just don't talk to him about miracles. Don't talk to him about the supernatural power of an omnipotent God. That's his point where he's going to stop listening. There are a lot of people in the religious world like that today. Of course, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. That was one of his first points. That Jesus of Nazareth was a man who was attested by God by miracles, wonders, and signs which he did in your midst. That was the testimony of Peter about Jesus Christ. Prejudice determines the place where a person stops listening. An uncommitted religious person, a person who maybe attends church but really isn't committed to Christ, is going to listen until the point where you start talking about the need to obey, to actually do what Jesus said to do. You know, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all those who obey Him. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says. Some people don't want to hear that. All you got to do is believe, you know. All you have to do is think you're saved and you're saved. Don't be talking about having to obey. Well, that's what the Bible talks about. They'll listen to you to that point. Or you start talking to an uncommitted person about self-denial. And Jesus demanding that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. To deny yourself. Well, we don't want to hear about that. We want a religion that's comfortable. We don't want a religion that's going to require sacrifice, and we're not going to listen to that. So that's where we stop listening. There's some in some churches of Christ who are going to listen, who would have listened to this sermon all the way up to this point, where I mentioned the word pattern. The fact that the New Testament lays out a pattern for the church to follow. It is a pattern that's to be followed by all churches of Christ for all time until the end of time. The Bible speaks of it over and over again. There is a way that God expects and wants things done in His church. Timothy is told in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 to hold fast the pattern of sound words. There's a pattern to follow that God has given. Of course, whole sermons could be preached on this. But a lot of my brethren will stop listening to me when I start talking about pattern. When I start talking about here's what the Bible says about how the church is supposed to do its work, what its work is, and how the work is to be carried out. A miser is going to listen to you until you mention giving cheerfully. Start preaching about giving and giving a lot and giving with a good attitude. And somebody that's covetous, somebody who's in this world for this world, is going to stop listening. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says that all covetousness is not even to be named among us as is fitting for saints. Somebody who dresses immodestly, who likes to go to the beach or wherever and take off most of their clothing in public, or doesn't wear clothes that cover herself or himself adequately from day to day. They're going to stop listening when you start talking about the need, the requirement given in the New Testament Scriptures for us to dress in modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety. I've preached sermons, entire lessons, detailing in great detail both the reasons for and the exact things that we're supposed to do to cover ourselves, to be modest according to the plan of God. And seen Christians who heard the lesson that next week walking around town like I never said a thing. They just stopped listening. It's the point of prejudice. It's the point where they've decided that I like what I'm wearing, I'm justified in what I'm wearing, and I don't care what that verse says, I don't care what that preacher says, I'm not listening to that anymore. What's the cause? Remember, I ask you the questions, right? Why'd they stop listening? Why was it? Well, it was prejudice. Well, what's the cause of prejudice? Tradition and custom. Here's the way we've always done it. Here's what I've always done. Here's what's comfortable to me. And anything that's said other than that, that I'm not going there. That takes effort. That gets me out of my comfort zone. What causes prejudice? Listening to a lot of false teaching and error. There are people in this assembly, many of us, who were raised in churches, had religious training when we were younger that we now understand was just wrong. You remember if you're in that boat this morning with me, you remember how hard it was to get over that, to really start listening to somebody who was teaching you something else and something different from what you've been taught and trained? Remember that? It is hard, isn't it? But that's what you have to do. You have to get over it. You have to say, well, I've been taught something else, but if it's in God's Word, I'm open to it. I'm going to listen to it. Even when you've been taught error. Prejudice can be caused by limited knowledge or ignorance. You just don't know, but you think you know. You've got your mind made up on the basis of very few facts, but you're happy with what you think, and so you don't want to be troubled with having to think something else. Sometimes pride and hardness of heart can't admit that you're wrong. Can't admit that somebody else can know more than you could. Sometimes a lack of commitment causes prejudice. Ultimately, it all boils down to loving darkness more than loving light. That's what prejudice is all about. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, here it is. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Not doing what's right. So I don't want to listen to what's right. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. That point of prejudice where you stop listening is very likely the point where you step into the darkness. And you don't want people to see. And you don't want to see for yourself what's there. This morning, do we keep our ears open to all of God's Word? Are we swift to hear? Look at James chapter 1. I know this is a passage well known to many of us. Sometimes we read this in little slices that are not really connected, and we don't get the full import of what James, I believe, is teaching us here. Let me read verses 19 through 21 together. These are three verses that go together, but oftentimes we only read one or two of them at a time. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Do you see the therefore that's in verse 21? See how that's connected to the earlier part about being swift to hear? Receive that implanted Word. Lay aside the wickedness. Be swift to hear. Be attentive. Pay careful attention to what's being said. Analyze it. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3, as Nehemiah stands above the people and reads to them the law, he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. You see this actually more than one time where the scribe will stand and read God's law, and people are attentive, maybe for hours at a time. We get upset with the preacher if he goes past 35 minutes, you know. We need to be attentive to the law as long as it's the law for however long it goes. We need to be ready to hear every command and every saying that comes from Scripture. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, Cornelius announced to Peter, "We are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." I like that, don't you? We're here to hear all of the things, not just one or two of the things. We want to hear everything that God has told you. What an attitude. And we're going to be here and listen to everything that God has said. In Acts chapter 17, the Bereans were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. It says, because they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. But they had a ready mind. This morning, our lesson has been one that I hope will help us apply many, many other lessons. That I hope will help us to see the truth about maybe other things that we're not right about or that we don't understand the truth about. When we get our attitude right toward God's Word, when we open our minds and hearts to it, when we refuse to stop listening just because it makes us uncomfortable or it's not what we've always heard, or it's in conflict with what you want to be the truth, then we'll have made some progress. Are you still listening this morning? Jesus is so fearful for the eternal destinies of the Jews of His day. He knew where they were headed, because they wouldn't listen. The hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes they've closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. This morning there might be somebody here who maybe even has heard for the first time, as we talked about it, that baptism is for the remission of sins. Maybe you haven't been baptized for the remission of sins. Would you be willing to do that today, to open your heart to that Bible fact? Maybe there's someone here who has been living in a way that's displeasing to their Lord. We talked about dressing in immodest apparel, being covetous. Could be many, many things. Would you open your heart? Listen to what God has to say and do what's right. We'd ask you to come while we stand, while we sing. Would you be free from your burden of sin? All in the blood.